Well, thank you so much for singing. And choir, thank you for being here tonight and singing. What a joy it is to hear you. And tonight, as I've mentioned and announced, that for a couple of three Wednesday nights in a row, I've asked men of God who know the book and know the Lord and pastor wonderful churches, but have been faithful to the cause to come and preach to us. And somebody, since I've moved here 3 years ago, we're coming up on 3 years, somebody that I knew before I got here because of a friend of mine who Preacher Cook, or used to work for Preacher Cook, but I've known of him for a long time, and I appreciate Preacher Austin Cook's stand and his longevity and his faithfulness to the Lord, and just a wonderful, wonderful man of God. And we've been out to eat together on different occasions and had a good time, and he's been here and I've been there for services, and he is just a wonderful, wonderful, true man of God because he's a man of character. And you can't just take a preacher and say, well, man, he can really preach, and then that doesn't back it up with a life. And so this fella, he's been faithful to the Word of God, but then also a man of character. And he's been preaching for all these years up at the Victory Baptist Church. Undoubtedly, you've seen the big cross on Highway 81 as you go into Bristol, Virginia. And who knows how many folks have been reminded about the Savior just coming past that church. And then, of course, on the radio, on television. And so we thank God for the ministry of Victory Baptist Church, and then for specifically, though, for Preacher Cook. So Preacher Cook, would you come on up? And he's going to preach to us about the subject of prayer and whatever the Lord has laid on his heart. And he and his dear wife are here tonight, and we're certainly thankful for them taking time out of their schedule and having somebody else preach and take care of things while he's away. And I know that that is not something the pastor takes lightly, but I'm certainly glad, and he's my good friend, and I'm thankful that he's here tonight to preach for us. Thank you, preacher.
Thank you, brother. Yes. Well, it certainly is a joy for me to be here and share the Word of God with you tonight. Always a joy to be in this place. Over the years, I hadn't been in Bristol very long, 55 years ago, till I heard of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and Dr. Gene Lashley, and all of these years, he's been my friend, and I appreciate him so much. And Pastor Herdman, thank you for the honor of letting me share the word here tonight. You know, Brother Herdman is a type of pastor, a type of a man that you just enjoy seeing him come, enjoy fellowshipping with him. I mean, he's always bubbly and always exciting. And there is a lot of people that you enjoy when you see them coming. Unfortunately, in life, there's a few that you like to see him go, but he's certainly one of those you're looking forward to see him come your way. I mentioned Brother Lashley. Years ago, I had him preaching for us in the revival. We had a little tabernacle up on top of the hill behind our church building, and we'd gather there for this revival meeting, and Brother Lashley was the preacher. And just, we were singing the last song right before he was going to preach. And he recognized he didn't have his glasses with him. So he came to me and he said, Brother Cook, I didn't bring my glasses tonight. He said, all I know to do is just trust the Lord and lean on the Lord. So we preached and we had a great service. And I told him after the service, I said, Brother Lashley, I believe you do better when you trust the Lord and lean on the Lord. We was in, I think it was in the state of Florida one time, and shortly after he had stepped down from the pastorate here, and I'd asked him to come and fill the pulpit while I was away. And in those days, live stream had just come on the scene. I didn't know anything about it, but we looked for a church, and we just couldn't find one anywhere in driving distance. And nobody, we tried to call and see if anybody would come in a bus and pick us up, and we couldn't get anybody. And so my sister said, well, we'll just pull the service up on live stream. And I said, well, that'd be fine. We had a little service there before that, and then I listened to the service. And I told him, I said, now, after you preach, Brother Lashley, I'll call you on the way home and see how everything went. And he said, that'll be fine. So he preached. He preached from the book of Luke, and I took down his outline. And I gave him time. I knew he was in the car and on his way home, and I called him. I said, "How'd it go this morning, Brother Lashley?" He said, "It went fine." I said, "Well, I want to share with you something that I saw in the Gospel of Luke this morning." And so I gave him point by point what he preached on. Got real quiet. I could see wheels turning. He said, "Austin, that's exactly what I preached this morning." Well, it had a reason to, because it was what he preached. I'm happy my wife's with me tonight. We've been married 61 years, be 62 in September. And for 61 years, I guess there's nothing that I wouldn't do for her and nothing she wouldn't do for me. So for 61 years, we've just done nothing for each other. And works out pretty good that way. All right. I want to share a verse of scripture with you. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 4, dealing on the subject of prayer tonight. Philippians chapter 4. Most of you could quote this verse by heart. You're familiar with it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Be careful for nothing," that is, over anxious, "but in everything," notice that, "everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What a marvelous truth. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. There is nothing too big to pray about. Nothing. And then there's nothing too small to pray about. Sometimes we pray about the big things and we forget to pray about the small things that we need to pray about. I just received the Lord as my Savior and got a hold of the truth about prayer, some things about prayer, and still at home. And my mother said to me, she said, "Austin, I'm still in school." And she said, "If we have some extra eggs, if you'll gather in the eggs, you can sell them and get the money out of them." Well, that was a good deal. And so I'd go to school and I'd pray that those hens would lay a lot of eggs. Now, I don't know if that had anything to do with them laying or not, but I enjoyed the money, and that was a blessing. If eggs had been the price then that they are now, goodness alive, would I have been a happy man? I heard the other day, I don't think this is reason, but I heard the other day that somebody said the reason that eggs were so high, that the hens had been listening to liberal news and convinced all of them they're roosters. But anyway, they're high, that's for sure. No question about that. Well, James said in James chapter 5, verse 17, talking about Elijah, he said he was a man subject to like passion, such as we are. He was a man subject to like passion, such as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not for the space of 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. And then it rained. Notice, he was a man of lack passion, such as we are. That means that he was just a mortal man. That means that he was a man with limitations. That means that he faced a lot of things, but he prayed earnestly. Notice that word, earnestly. I mean, it was a sincere prayer. He earnestly prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain. He earnestly prayed that it would rain. You remember he just had that battle with all those false prophets and killed all of them. And they didn't Had that little prayer he prayed, and God answered his prayer, and fire came down from heaven, licked up the sacrifice and the stones, and they had destroyed all those false prophets. And he said to his servant, he started praying for the rain. He said to his servant on Mount Carmel there, he said, go look and see out over the sea there, see if you see a cloud. And so he prayed, and he came back, the servant did, and he said, I don't see anything. I mean, just all I see is that hot oriental sunshine coming down. So Elijah prayed again and sent the servant, said, go look again. And he came back and he looked. He said, just sunshine. Don't see no clouds. So he prayed again. And he prayed again. And he put his head down. The Bible says, and he prayed earnestly. I think by this time he's thinking, boy, it's easier to get the water and the rain stopped than it is to get it started again. And so he's praying earnestly that it might rain. And he sent out that servant again. And he came back and he said, I see a little cloud about like a man's hand. And Elijah said, you better get off of the mountain. It's going to come, what we would say, a gully washer. I mean, it's going to come down, and it did come down. He was a man subject to like passion, such as we are. And he prayed earnestly, and God heard his prayer. What a marvelous thing. There's four things that I want to share with you tonight, four words I want to leave with you on prayer: the word practical, the word petition, the word persistent, and the word promise. I want you to think about these as we're thinking about prayer tonight. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke, please. Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Notice what it says here. Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he, that is Christ, as he was praying at a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I want you to notice that little phrase, to pray. Teach us to pray. I'm thinking about practical. Practical is moving from an idea to involvement. Moving from just an idea to involvement. And so he said, teach us to pray. He asked Jesus, teach us to pray. He's going to talk about how to pray in a little while. But to pray is so important. Let me tell you something about prayer. It's work. It is just plain work. No shortcuts to it. We just have to do it. So we want to move, we want to be practical about this. We want to move from just the idea of praying to really involvement and get involved. So he said, teach us to pray. And then he said, verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, we're still on prayer now. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his importunity, mark that word, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. So let's notice not only practical to pray, but let's notice petition. Prayer is simply asking God. Asking God. I haven't been saved very long until I heard Dr. John R. Rice preaching on prayer. And he'd just come out with a book on prayer. And it's prayer, and he titled it, Prayer is Asking God. And so prayer is just simply asking our Heavenly Father. He said the same thing over in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 about praying and about asking God. And ask and it shall be given you. And Dr. Rice said that ask and that seek and that knock, it means keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Just stay with it. Stay after it. So there's the petition. Now, the third thing I want to mention tonight is persistent. Persistent. Notice in our story here that our Lord gave on prayer, when this man, I picture like this. Here's a man who comes at midnight and he knocks on his friend's door. His friend gets up and goes to the door and he sees a friend that he'd seen a long time. He invites him in. And he recognizes the man is hungry, but there's a problem. He don't have anything to set before him, nothing to eat. So in my mind, he tells him, sit down here and I'll be back in a minute. And he slips out the back door. And he has a friend up on the hill in that big white house, and he runs up there and knocks on the door, and nobody answers. And he knocks again, and nobody answers. But boy, this time he's a banging on the door. And the fellow said, hey, don't bother me. We're in the bed, our children are all asleep, and we don't want nobody disturbing us at this time of night. But he kept on knocking. And finally he said, I'm going to get up and give him what he needs. Not because he's my friend. Not because I want to. But I'm going to do it because of his importunity. That is, he ain't going to quit. He's not going to stop. He's just going to be here knocking on this door and I've got to get up. And our Lord told that story in order to encourage us about just keep on praying. Keep on praying. Stay with it. Stay with it. Don't stop. He told another story. Let's go over to Luke chapter 18. He's going to tell another story, and he's going to emphasize the same thing on this importunity, on this staying after it. Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, I regard man. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual, notice that word, continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? This Jesus told this story about this judge, and he was some more character. He didn't fear God. Got a lot of those today, I'm afraid. And he didn't regard man. But this little widow woman comes to him and asks a petition of him, and he wasn't paying attention to her. But she didn't give up. I mean, she'd be there every time he turned around. She'd be there asking him to help her on this particular request that she had. Finally, he said, good, not in the morning. If I'm ever going to get any relief, I'm going to have to give this woman what she wants. Or she's going to just wear the daylights out of me, as we would say. And he granted her that request. And Jesus said, hear, that unjust judge could be persuaded because of this lady continually coming. And that's encourage us to never stop praying. Just keep on talking to God about whatever that need may be. Persistent praying. We need that. Persistent praying. And then the fourth thing I want to mention is a promise that God has made. And that is that he will hear our prayers. I think God answers prayers in three different ways. Number one, he'll say yes. And many of us have prayed a prayer, and the answer, by the time we prayed almost, it was yes. And God said yes and granted that request. And that was wonderful. And we praise the Lord for it. But other times we prayed and God didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. So we just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. And then the Lord would grant that request. I've been praying about something for years and years. And just recently the Lord granted that request and was far beyond what I could have even thought about. And then there's times when God says just delays, and we think it's bad, but it's really going to be working out for our good, and we just don't know it at that time. I remember when we was building our auditorium there, Pastor Herdman there at Victory. By the way, I remember when Eugene, or when Gene and Junior Hobbs, when they built this building, and now you've redone it, it looks so beautiful, just absolutely gorgeous, and I certainly commend you for it. But we was building that building, and we put up the beams, and we have wooden beams like you have here, and they'd come in from California, and we'd ordered the wood, and in our auditorium, it's all wood over the top here, and we was it was coming fall, and we was doing a lot of our building by free labor, had somebody guiding us, directing us, and we had a good bunch of men in working, and we was ready to put the wood up, but the wood wasn't there. It should have been there, so I called out of California to see what happened, and they said, well, that wood should have already been there, and so they got to checking, and they said, why, it came through Bristol, Virginia, all right, but it went to Bristol, Connecticut, just about as far as you can go on that train. Oh, Lord, help us. So we just kept on working. And it still, if we turn that train around, it'll be here just a day or so. Well, we went another 3 or 4 or 5 days, and I called again. And they said, oh, we don't understand. Let me check. So he called me back in a little while and said, it came through Bristol all right, but it went about as far south as you could go now. And I'm thinking, Lord, don't you know who we are down here? We're trying, falls are coming. So we didn't plan to build our balcony. We were just going to build the auditorium and then put the balcony in later. I didn't know it, but God not answering our prayers of sending that wood to Bristol, Connecticut, and send it south, that was the best part of our building program, because we built the whole thing and it would have cost us thousands and thousands of dollars to come back and do it later. So sometimes when our prayer is not answered when we think it should be, it's for our good, and we just don't realize it. Little boy was taking care of his little brother, and his mother was busy, and she heard the little fellow squall out, and she said, "What's the matter with him?" He said, his older brother said, "He's wanting something, and I won't give it to him." And she said, "We'll give it to him." So in a moment, he really squalled out this time. She said, "Now what's the matter?" "Well," he said, "he is wanting that wasp in the window, and I gave it to him." So sometimes when God don't give us our request, it's for our good. And then sometimes God just says no, and that's for our good. I think sometimes God says some of our prayers, "Are you kidding me?" But I'm glad that we can bring our petitions to the Lord. Nobody graduates from the school of prayer. Nobody. We're all, as believers, we have a wonderful opportunity to approach God's throne of grace. One of the greatest privileges of a believer is to approach the throne of grace in prayer. And our nation needs our prayers tonight. Our country, our people, our churches. I thank God for this great, great church here. But we need a moving of God in our land tonight. And we need to pray earnestly, earnestly. You notice what I read there a moment ago. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" I think he's talking about a body of faith like used to be in almost every denomination, but now it is so different. We are seeing things today that we never dreamed about. I'm talking about just a few years ago. So we certainly need to bathe our country, our leaders, our nation, our churches, our pastors in prayer, in prayer. The Lord's coming. I'm so encouraged by people. I have so many people that tell me, "I'm praying for you." I have people that tell me every day, "I pray for you every day." And I appreciate that. And I know your dear pastor appreciates so much you praying for him. I don't know when this thing is going to end up, but I know one thing. The Lord is coming. And we want to get everybody ready we can to go to heaven with us. But lastly, I thank God for those who prayed for me before I was saved. You thank God, and you thank God for those it prayed for you. And so I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I know his coming's closer now than it's ever been. And you remember what he said? When he comes, there'll be two in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two in the bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Two up the casino in Bristol, and I think they'll both be left. But I'm telling you, we really need to pray and to seek the face of God earnestly. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me share pulpit with you tonight. And your dear folks, God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to have the heads bowed and just think about this for a little bit as our instrumentalists come. And think about this great truths that he'd given tonight. Simple, but so needed in every one of our lives. And I hope that you had the Lord move on your heart like I had him move on my heart, is about that persistent prayer. Sometimes we give up on things. We'll tell people, we'll pray about something, and we do a time or two, and doesn't seem like anything happens, and then we quit. What about that mother that prayed for you, or that Sunday school teacher that prayed for you, whoever that prayed for you that needed to be saved, and they just kept on? Praise the Lord for persistence in prayer. And then, as he mentioned, just the practical, I love what he said about that. And that was just, sometimes we got this big knowledge, this head knowledge. Yeah, I know we need to do it, and I know we should, and we think about it, and we realize that Christians are supposed to. But sooner or later, folks, we just got to get down to do it. The reason most prayers get unanswered is because most prayers are unprayed. And so we just need to do it. Thank the Lord for the message tonight. Would you stand together with us if you're able to, as the ladies play something through? And I challenge you to start this. Nobody graduates from the school of prayer. I've never heard it put that way. And let's just employ a little bit of that tonight, and may you be praying to the Lord. And through this evening, I trust that you've seen, as I've seen, that we need to ramp up our prayer life. Sometimes we just rush on through, and we'll pray here and pray there about little things, but all those seasons of prayer that I need and you need. If you're here tonight and you want to come to this altar and pray about anything, that the altar is open, you're welcome to pray and seek the Lord. Maybe you're making an altar out of your pew there. If you need somebody to pray with, then we certainly would love to help you in that way. We never stop a service without inquiring about somebody maybe that's in the crowd that's not sure they're saved, not sure you're on your way to heaven. If that's you tonight, my friend, you need to pray and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. And if you're not certain of heaven being your home when you die, I pray that you'd come. I ask you to come. We'd love to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. As they play through another verse and God's dealing with your heart, would you just mind Him? Amen. That's tremendous. Thank you. Got to hear tonight from a choice servant of the Lord. Preacher Cook is a blessing to his area. He's a blessing to me and a blessing to so many. I ask you to do a favor to him. When you go up 81, go past the pinnacle and just keep on going. Right there after you cross over to Virginia, you'll see the big cross on the left of 81 there. Pray for Victory Baptist Church. Pray that the Lord would continue to use that place to be a gospel lighthouse to all the people in the area. So when you go up that way, labor with them in prayer if you would. And then we're certainly privileged to get to have him come. He went to Tennessee Temple University years ago and got to sit under the ministry of Dr. Lee Robertson, who was a hero of many, many preachers, including myself. And he's just stayed faithful all these years after that training that he got. And we're thankful for Preacher Cook. And Miss Cook, thank you for being with us tonight as well. What a joy to get to have you. And so we are thankful that you're here tonight. Now, here there is a couple of announcements I want to give. Tonight, we're setting up and getting ready for that outdoor night on Saturday. If you're able to stay, go over to the Family Life Center. There'll be somebody over there to help direct here in a few moments. The kids we'll be over there helping us as well, but we'll set up the tables, get ready for that event on Saturday. Everybody, you don't have to come if you don't have time, but if you got time and you're able-bodied, you want to come over and help us set up a few tables and chairs, we'll get that ready for Saturday. They're going to start decorating tomorrow and Friday and get it ready for that event. But please, even if you can't come on Saturday, please pray that the Lord would work on the hearts of people. We're having this not just have fun, it will be fun, but we're having this so that we can use it as a way to bring people in that aren't saved and that wouldn't come to a regular church. Everybody's going to have fun. If you're saved, I'll be there. We'll all have a good time together. But folks that wouldn't come to a church service, Maybe they're a hunter or fisher, outdoorman, but they would come to that. And so please pray with me that the Lord would just work on the hearts of everyone who comes and we'd see people saved. So we'll have a good time together. Well, we can't have a service like that and not close it in prayer. And so we're going to ask Brother Daniel, if you don't mind, to come and close our service in prayer. And I'm going to take Preacher Cook out to the lobby. Maybe you get to stop by and greet him and thank him for coming our way.
Our Father in heaven, we do come before you as a church family tonight, Lord, grateful with our hearts having been filled with the message and, Lord, the reminders that we've been given. Lord, so many of just powerful, life-changing truths were just brought to bear in our minds tonight. And, Lord, I pray that all of us would go from here and we'd take these and we would, Lord, just try to take a step forward, a practical step forward in our prayer life with you. And, Lord, I pray that from that, we would see great things taking place in all of our lives. As Pastor just mentioned, most prayers that are never answered are that way because they've never been prayed. And Lord, I pray that we'd be a praying church. We'd be praying Christians. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us as we go. Help us have a wonderful rest of the week. Use us where we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed.